I know it comes as no surprise to you that I'm going to preach on the resurrection, right? I read a comment earlier in the week, and I thought, well, that's so true. The comment was made to the effect that when you go to church on Easter Sunday and you don't hear about the resurrection, it'd be like going to the Super Bowl and not having a football game. You know, it is right at the heart of what this day is all about. And so we turn to the resurrection chapter, and for many reasons, because this is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and 3 days later, according to the Scriptures, He arose. And that is the good news, that we have salvation in Him. Apart from His death and burial and resurrection, there would be no reason to worship. There would be no Christian life. Salvation was provided through that very means, that is His death, burial, and resurrection. And then not only was salvation provided, but salvation is received as we believe He did that for us and as we commit our lives and our hearts to Him. We know it's important because the Bible says so. We know it's important because Jesus said so. In fact, when asked for a reason or a sign that He was the Son of God, He said, there's no sign I'm going to give you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. It's the only sign, He said, that I'll give you. As Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so I will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, but I'm coming out. Then on occasion He said this. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He was not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He was talking about the temple of His body, as the Scriptures say. So had He not come out of the grave, every claim He had to be the Messiah and the Son of God and the Savior would be all for naught. Everything rises or everything falls based on the resurrection. And then the apostles came along and they began preaching. And we know they changed the world as they went out from place to place and preached. And what was their message? That Jesus Christ is alive. Everywhere they went, that's what they preached. The good news. He died for our sins. He rose again from the grave. And so the good news today is very simply that anybody and everybody can be saved if we'll believe that simple good news message. Here's what it says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's good news, isn't it? You know what makes the good news really good news is the bad news. Did you hear about the farmer who he was in trouble, having some setbacks, and he went to talk to his banker. And he said, to his banker, he said, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. So the banker said, well, go ahead and get the bad news out of the way here. So he said, you know that money that I borrowed to buy that tractor and equipment? He said, you know, I've fallen on hard times this year with my crop. I'm not going to be able to pay that back. He said, all right, what's the good news? He said, there's more bad news. He said, you know, the money that I borrowed for the fertilizer and the seed and all that, I can't pay that back either. He said, all right, okay. Now, what's the good news? He said, that's more bad news. He said, the bad news also is that I can't pay my house mortgage. He said, but there is some good news. He said, well, what is it? He said, I'm still going to do my banking with you. Well, sometimes there's bad news, sometimes there's good news. But when we think about the gospel, the good news, and that's what the word gospel means, it's good news because of the bad news. And because we know that there's so much bad news, isn't there a lot of bad news? But aside from just what you hear on the news about wars and about terror and about crazy things that happen, people taking innocent life and all that, the worst news of all is the sinful condition of this world. Let me share with you what the Bible says about the bad news very quickly, very simply. But it's important for us to understand the bad news in order to appreciate the good news. The bad news is that all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is not a righteous person in the building. There's not a perfect person in the world. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The bad news is that sin brings death and separation from God. The wages of sin is death. That's not bad sin or some sin, that's all sin. One sin, any sin, brings eternal separation from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that is an unqualified statement. That's a blanket statement. So we could say that the bad news is that sin affects everything. It affects the world in which we live. You don't have to look very far to see that we live in a sin-cursed world. I don't have to look very far. You don't have to look very far in ourselves to see there's something horribly wrong. We do bad because we are bad. We are born with a sin nature, true? And it's kind of like Humpty Dumpty. You know the old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and so forth. You cannot put Humpty back together again. Sin has done its evil, and sin has done its destructive work. And how can it be undone? By you and by me, it cannot. So what is left? God has to move in. And that's where the good news comes in. The good news is all about Jesus Christ and what He has done. We find it right here, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Verse 4, He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And according to the Bible, this is the gospel. This is the good news. Now, we've looked there briefly at what the bad news is. We know what the good news is. But the good news is not just that Jesus died and that He was buried and He rose again. The good news is that that affects us. It was done for our behalf. It was done to make us different creatures, different people, to give us a hope and a future and a life now that's worth living. Let me give you a statement that I would like to share with you on this Easter Sunday that I think sums up what the good news really is. Thinking about the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection, and also how it affects us. Note this statement. Listen to it carefully. I'll read it through it twice. The good news is that Christ did something for us that He might do something in us so that He might do something through us. Now that's the good news of the gospel. Let me say it again. God did something in Jesus Christ for us. That is the cross, the resurrection. So that He might do something in us. That's the point of salvation. That's the conversion experience. That makes us new creatures. But that's not the end result. The end result is so that He might do something through us. You see, salvation is to accomplish something in and through our lives. So having answered the questions, what's the bad news and what's the good news, I'm going to take just a couple of minutes here and answer another question, if I could. What's the big deal? Or what difference does it make? Since there is bad news of sin, and then the good news, the really good news of salvation, what difference does it make? In other words, what difference does it make that we celebrate Easter? What difference does it make in your life? What difference does it make in my life? You know, the thought occurs to me that as far as people who are lost in their sins, people who are not Christian, it makes no difference at all. This day, today, to them makes no difference whatsoever. They go about their life pretty much as usual. Tomorrow, they did yesterday. Oh, they may recognize today is an Easter day, but by and large, the good news to the lost person, to the unsaved person, the unchristian person, makes no difference whatsoever. They draw their breath. They draw their salary. They live for the weekend. They live for a vacation. They live for a good time. They want a little recreation. They want a good meal. They want a warm bed. They want a little love. They want a little attention. They want to try to make their life better. They know that things are wrong. They can see that in the world we live in, just like we can. They know their life is not right. And yet they try to eke out whatever happiness they can in life. Such is the life of a lost person. A miserable, miserable life. But I want to say to you and me, who really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? Are you with me? Say amen. The resurrection, the death of Christ, the gospel, the good news, it makes all the difference in the world. The gospel is the difference between life and death. It's the difference between hope and hopelessness. It's the difference between holiness and sin. It's the difference between victory and defeat. It's why we're called Christian. Christian means something. Christian. We're one who believes in Christ, accepts Christ, and everything else is different. It's not just a name attached to us. It's the very core of who we are. So this day represents the difference. This is what Paul's getting at in this passage here. Look at the language that he uses here talking about the gospel. Look back in verse 1. May I point a few things out to you? He says, "Moreover, brethren," he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, "I declare unto you the gospel." That is, I'm making this known to you once again. And they were already saved, but they needed to hear it again, just like we all need to hear it again. He says, "I preached it unto you." And then he says, "You have received it, and you stand in it." What a marvelous thought. That is, the solid footing. We sometimes sing the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Paul says, you stand in this good news. I've declared it, and I do declare it. I preached it. You received it. You stand in it. Verse 2, by which also you're saved. And if you look carefully at that, it means you are being saved. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved constantly from the power of sin, the grip of sin. And then we will be saved from the very presence of sin one day. All of that's wrapped up in our salvation. And it's all in the good news of the gospel, by which also you're saved. And then he says this, notice this. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now what is he talking about? Is it possible we would forget the gospel? Is he talking about a faulty memory? You know, as we get older, we realize we don't remember like we used to. That's all he's talking about, though. He's not just talking about that you might forget the facts of the gospel. How could we ever forget the facts of the gospel? What he's talking about is that once you really believe in the gospel, once you really cling to the gospel and grasp it and get a grip on it, don't ever let go of it. Because this is what makes the difference in your life. If you just embrace it mentally, or you just have kind of a superficial faith, he says, he calls that believing in vain. If you look at that carefully, you know what that means? It means believing without purpose. You see, here's what I want us to see as I close this message. It's all important we think about Easter in this way. Jesus died for a purpose. Would you agree with that? He rose with a purpose. But not only did He die with a purpose in mind and rise again with a purpose in mind, but you and I believe with a purpose. We don't just believe to go through the motions. To believe like that is what Paul says, believing with no purpose. And this is what I fear has happened to a lot of people who say they believe in Christ. They believe in Christ. Yes, but has it changed your life? Or do you just believe to no purpose? To no purpose whatsoever. See, in verse 2, there's a warning right here. Unless you have believed in vain. You've believed to no purpose. You've believed without any result, any difference in your life. Do we not know professing Christians that claim to believe what we believe? And yet, does it change their life? Has it changed their life? Are they living for Christ? That is the all-important question. I want you to notice this phrase. It's interesting you find this phrase in vain three times in this great chapter. There in verse 2, believing in vain. Look what Paul says of his own testimony, verse 10. We read it a moment ago. Look at verse 10, please. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Is that your testimony today? Amen? The grace of God has changed everything. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. His grace, which was given to me, was not for no purpose. There was a purpose in God extending His grace to me. And what was that purpose? Well, he goes on to say, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul got it. Paul understood that being a Christian was all about a changed life. Yes, it was good news, but it was not good news just to believe and go on living the same old way or receiving the grace of God and having your past forgiven and then having no difference, no work, no labor for the Lord, not laying your life down and sacrifice for Him. That would be grace in vain, to no purpose at all. But he understood that God's grace, the gospel, had a purpose. Look down, if you would, at verse 58, the last verse of the chapter. We find this phrase again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your work is not for no purpose. You serve the Lord, there's purpose. You believe in Christ, there's purpose. Christ died and rose for a purpose. And the purpose was not just to provide salvation. The purpose was to apply salvation. And in applying salvation, He changes our life. Let me say it to you like this. If your religion has not changed your life, you better change your religion. Because it's not the saving kind. We heard the other night at the simulcast on Good Friday about Turkey, the country of Turkey. It's a Muslim country. It was interesting to hear what was said about Turkey being a Muslim country. The comment was made to this effect, that 95% of professing Muslims are Muslims in name and tradition only. That is, they're really not devout Muslims. They go through the motions. And I wondered as I heard that, could not the same be said for Christians in America? I mean, we're a so-called Christian nation. But are we really? Are we just Christian in name only? Or has our Christianity changed us? If Christianity hasn't changed you, if you're just a Christian and it hasn't changed your life, then that's believing in vain. I want to give you another statement. I know I've given you one statement, but this is another one. I don't want you to go out of here without something to carry with you. I want you to listen to the statement. The gospel is good news because Christ comes to us just as we are. But He doesn't leave us like we are. Let me say that again. The gospel is good news because Christ comes to us just like we are. That is, in our sins and our failures, He didn't wait for us to get better, did He? He came to us just like we were, poor, hopeless, helpless, wretched. But the good news is He doesn't leave us that way. He cleans us up and He changes us from the inside out. So the question today is, do you believe in such a way in the good news that has changed your life? What difference has the gospel made in your life? What difference does the gospel make daily in your life? The Bible says in Romans 14:9, for to this end, that is for this purpose, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord of the dead and the living. That's why He came. That's why He died. That's why He rose. To be Lord. To guide our life. To make us what we ought to be. That's the good news. It's not just that we can believe something on Easter Sunday, kind of feel good about it and go about our business. You know the real test of whether you believe or not? You know what the real test is? It's not that we're in church on Sunday morning, but how we live on Monday morning. That's the real test of your faith. The Bible says faith without works is what? It's dead. Faith without works is dead. Another way to say that is faith without works is worthless. It's useless. We have a brand of faith around here in this world, in our country, in our area particularly, that's just a superficial mental kind of faith. You ask people, you believe in Christ? Oh yeah, I believe in Christ. And what they're saying is they believe there was such a person. They know the facts. They could tell you how this drama would have unfolded before even coming in this church. That's not the issue. Do you believe it happened? The issue is, have you believed in such a way that it has changed you? That's salvation. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, help us this morning to search our heart and see down deep if we're true believers. If there has been a real change. We know, Lord, the good news. Jesus died, rose again, so that He might be Lord of the dead and of the living. And so, Lord, we can do nothing less and nothing else than full surrender of our hearts and our lives. May our faith go beyond the surface. Lord, may our faith, may our belief and our grasp of the gospel be life-changing. As Paul said, Your grace is not given without purpose. It's not just a fire insurance policy to escape hell. It's a life-changing experience. And we are what we are by Your grace. And so, Lord, if we need to be changed today, change us. You're the only one that can do it. And we'll be forever grateful. Do what needs to be done in our hearts and lives today. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.